Hello? Oh, yo, Anton, we are back and better than ever, and we have to give our sincere apologies to all of our viewers, listeners, whatever you want to call it, because it's been over 2 weeks, Anton, without doing an episode, and I think that's pretty bad, and we would like to apologize to all you guys, because, you know, we're two professionals, we got careers, we got other stuff to do. So it's difficult, you know what I'm saying?
Especially living in the Northeast. This winter has been not good to us with the, in regards to weather.
Yeah.
And
it hasn't been as much snow.
But and health, too.
Yes.
Like, it's like, in my household, like, one person gets sick.
And then...
And another
pass it on.
Yeah, pass it on. It's like a basketball substitution. It's
pass
like
and move. Tiki-taka.
One in, one out. So it's like...
You guys are playing Barcelona-style football in this house.
We're all getting better, thankfully.
Good, man. Feel better.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just glad that this winter is finally almost over, and
yes,
we can move on to brighter
transitioning into spring, where my good old allergies will start kicking in, and I'll start sneezing 20 times a day.
But
it's all good.
I have yearly seasonal allergies, so I'm used to it at this point. I'm looking at you people like you're all amateurs.
Yeah, and okay. You know where I work, so like with that environment and like the spray and like people coming in and the door opening and closing, it's all good.
Yeah.
Let's get on to bigger and better things, Anton. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you know, but I know. I know the viewers know because this is, what, our 14th episode now?
Yeah.
And it is all about the Champions League.
Your shit's weak, bruh. It's not even loading.
Yo. There you go. Silly phone, making that delay for no reason.
Eventually, we're gonna have to get a snippet of it. I just have to look into like how we could buy it and then how I could edit it. I'll learn it as I go, as I play around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a work in progress.
You're the more tech savvy guy out of the two of us, and yeah.
So yeah,
I'll help you out if you need it.
What I make up for in tech is what I lack in personality, so it balances out.
But yeah, man, it's been an unbelievable week in the Champions League. A lot of upsets, a lot of crazy shit that happened, and I want to start off with some good news with Spurs. I'll go into Spurs in a little bit in their more recent form, but Spurs getting the 3-0 home win at Wembley, which was phenomenal performance.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of the first leg, it was pretty, like, right down the middle.
Yeah.
Dortmund were attacking, they had some clear-cut chances that we shut them out with. And then the second half, I don't know what the hell Pochettino told them in the dressing room, but they just turned their shit around, scored three in the second half, completely tie in our balance. So I was very comfortable going into the second leg. And even in the second leg, I was still, you know, I thought we were comfortable, but like...
Being at Signal Iduna Park,
yeah,
it changes the... Like, it's a fortress.
100%.
And the Dortmund players were... They brought their guns. They had to fight back, and they wanted to. And their fans believed in them. And,
exactly.
And credit to Dortmund. They put up a fight, and it was not an easy task to get that goal for Spurs.
No. And
it was not easy.
Especially in the first half. And even in the second half, they did have a lot of clear-cut chances. But again, our defense and our keeper, who I love so much, Hugo Lloris, came up huge. And we got the away, very important away goal in the beginning of the second half that just kind of killed all the hopes for Dortmund. So,
yeah.
I mean, and their season, by the way, is going to shit, too, because they were, I think, 9 points above on the top of the table in Bundesliga, and now they're actually second on goal differential to Bayern. So I think that result, the first one, 3-0, kind of just, like, turned their season completely upside down.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that Spurs are in the quarterfinals. It's their first quarterfinal appearance since 2011. I think 2010-2011 Champions League season. I'm hoping... I mean, there's a lot of upsets, so I'm hoping we get somebody decent. I mean, it's really unpredictable now because all the teams are going to be, you know, shooting to win this thing. And but I feel like Spurs, I mean, we've been out of the FA Cup. We're out of the Carabao Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could miraculously win the Champions League, I would have never expected it. And I'd be probably the happiest Spurs fan of all time.
Yeah, you and the rest of
London and all of the world, all across the world.
Of Tottenham's fandom.
Yeah, man.
You guys, honestly, you still are the butt of all jokes because, not you per se, the Tottenham fandom, because every year you guys say it's your year, and then like,
It never happens.
A series of unfortunate events happen for you guys, where you guys just completely choke, and it's a hilarious train wreck.
It is.
Not as hilarious as Chelsea's, because I've even though I'm a Chelsea fan, I've come to accept the terms, and I'm laughing at it. Because
I'm not accepting it. I'm going to go off on them later.
At the end of the day, these guys are rich. They're doing okay.
Yeah, they're doing more than okay. They're chilling, but, you know, let me save that rant for later, because I've been very disappointed with their recent form, but I'll get into that later. Speaking of recent form and choking, I have three letters for you, Anton, and that is PSG.
The complete... We all make fun of Tottenham and Spurs and Liverpool for being the biggest choke artists.
Yeah.
What? Why is no one talking about PSG? They've spent...
Billions.
A billion.
Yeah.
Since 2011, since Nasser Al-Khelaifi bought the club.
Yep.
Or whoever the hell bought the club.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just know he's in charge, but... And they have... What, you got to win league on year after year after year after year
by
after
like
year?
By like 20 points? What the hell is that significant
What challenge
for?
Is that?
You got to win the Champions League.
At this point, you're buying the players you get. You had Zlatan.
Yeah.
You had Cavani. You had Verratti. You had Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
Neymar.
They have Mbappe. A solid team throughout.
No, but let's talk about the players they've had over the years, too.
Yeah.
They had Thiago Motta, who was coming off the prime of his life at Inter. You had Blaise Matuidi, who was a solid midfielder.
Yep.
They had Maxwell, who's one of the most underrated left backs in the world.
Yep.
And every time they just dropped the ball, how much more money are they going to spend and bear no fruit? And the worst part is no one is pointing fingers.
Yeah.
No one is calling them out.
Because they have the money.
Everyone's like, PSG, unless them. Like...
I don't know what kind of French that was.
I don't speak French. I'm mocking them, actually. It's terrible when you have to explain your jokes. But I will say this about PSG.
Uh-huh.
The collaboration they had with Jordan was hard AF. Yeah. I want a pair of those Jordan 1s.
And I want a pair. I want that jersey, man. It just looks so fresh seeing Jordan's symbol
I'm
on that jersey.
I'm actually going to check out StockX. Yeah. The last I checked for that shoe, for the PSG Air Jordan 1,
mm-hmm.
It was selling below retail. It sold out because of Hypebeast at like 180.
Uh-huh.
Now it's selling for below retail like 160.
It's not so bad.
I'll get it.
Exactly.
And it doesn't show PSG. It's clean. Just has two red stripes. It's one of those
clean
nice
shoes.
Kids. Yeah, you could just wear it to the club. You could go out with, but not get the shit, like your shit handed to you by the bouncer.
Word.
So, but that's the only thing.
At least they're winning in something.
Yeah. They're winning in fashion. That's all they're good
winning
for.
In money and winning in fashion. Yeah, but they ain't winning no significant trophies, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's just, these guys got worked by a bunch of literally kids. Man United.
It was their B team.
It was their B team.
I think they have like 10 injuries.
Yeah. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer looks like a damn genius right now.
Meanwhile, I think, they played well. And the thing that I have to give Manchester United credit for, especially in that second leg, was that they were just so, like, clinical. They literally had three chances, and they scored those three chances.
And the thing is, you watch the way they played.
Yeah.
They believed in themselves.
Yeah, it was
they
so
believed
weird.
In themselves. And they have a manager who believes in them. Like, if it was someone like Mourinho putting these kids in, I don't think we're going to get
looking
to win. These kids are not going to do well. You would have had park the bus football the whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly. And especially after that 2-0 home defeat.
Yeah.
They would have been like, nah, it's a wrap.
What's it called with Ole at the wheel? Like these kids, he believes in them, and you see it. And these kids were just like, "Yo, let's win one. Let's make the case for why we're in this academy. Why we're the greatest in the world. I don't think they're the greatest, but like,
no,
they're
up there.
Yeah, but
and especially like, especially since you keep saying the word kid, the kid in Marcus Rashford to have the composure, the coolness, the calmness to bury that penalty against a very experienced Gianluigi Buffon, who did make mistakes in that game, and which cost them.
My question is, why was Gianluigi Buffon playing when he wasn't in the best of form? He's not playing in Ligue 1 right now.
No, and that's why they were saying that they thought Areola should have started this game.
Yeah, Areola should have started 100%. And the thing is, that Buffon signing, it makes you ask questions.
Yeah.
Was it a...
Money deal.
Was it a money deal? Was it a ambassador deal?
Yeah.
Or was it just Tuchel wanted him for backup experience? Or did they just want a big name?
Or did they just want him? Did he just want to leave Juventus?
Yeah. Now it's just raising questions. Like you think to yourself, maybe he shouldn't have never left Juventus.
I don't think so. I think he could have stayed at least one more year and like gave these other younger, you know,
goalkeepers
some experience.
Exactly.
He would have played the cup games, and then they would have sent him off with a nice farewell. But
exactly.
To come in and to like be one of the reasons why. You know, I'm not blaming all of the blame on him, because, like...
That defense was just disgustingly bad. Yeah. They didn't have Paul Pogba. They didn't have Manny Matic. They didn't have...
Mata.
They didn't have...
Martial. Lingard. Like, all these people,
players. Sanchez has been doo-doo for the past year, so it's like...
But still, like, still, he could come on and make a difference.
Shout out to Lukaku, though. He proved his
case. Shout out to Lukaku. He's been in phenomenal form.
He's playing on the right wing a lot more, too.
Yeah, which is so strange. Like, he doesn't really have the pace... But he's kind of good on the ball, and he gives good crosses, and he kind of, like, links up. I think
his defensive work rate is better, too. Like, he's...
Yeah. I mean,
It's not great, but, like, it's better compared to what he has.
And I'm sure it's only, like, temporary because of all the injuries, but...
Yeah.
He's been coming up clutch, man. I think he's got, like, 7 goals in his last few games or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's definitely proving his worth.
He's having a renaissance under Ole.
Yeah, and he's definitely, you know... What? He's only, like, what, 25?
26.
So he's still got a shitload of football to be played in his life, so... You know, I only wish him the best because he's a freaking beast. And I like his Puma cleats, which I'm probably going to get.
Should have came back to Chelsea.
But yeah, man, PSG, I don't know what the hell's going on with that club. If it were me, it would just be the money to go there.
Exactly. Like, you're not going to win anything. That's what I think it is at this point. I think it is. If I was Kylian Mbappe, I would look at these sorry ass players.
Yeah.
And just be like, yo, these guys are sorry.
Yeah.
They're trash. I deserve to play the best. And force a move to Real Madrid.
Yep.
Force a move. Well, I don't know if Barca needs wingers.
No, Barca's... No. He wouldn't fit on Barca.
Force a move to maybe like a team in the Premier League. Like
maybe City.
City. Yeah. United. Chelsea, if we weren't banned.
Yeah.
But
we'll talk about that also later.
But
I'd say...
Or go to like a Bayern Munich.
No, I don't think so. But in my opinion, I think... And we'll get into this also later. I think that Real Madrid... You know, we're going to also talk about this later. That they're going through their shit. But... I have a feeling that they're going to pull off Mbappe and Neymar for PSG for an insane amount of money in the summer.
I can see that happening, but we'll get to that later on because there's a reason why they're not spending. On to this next game, Porto, Roma. Porto with the upset. You called it.
I did.
You called
it. And I have another 3 letters for you. VAR. And this VAR thing, like...
It's backfiring bad.
On some occasions, it's very questionable. Like, I get it. I get that you have to review it to make it fair. But if it's a soft penalty, like, in my opinion, it was so soft. And, like, he barely even pushed the guy. It was like not even a shove. And the guy just goes tumbling over. And they called it even after reviewing
it.
So, did Roma get robbed? I think so. Porto in the last 8 of the Champions League. It might be a good thing for Tottenham because we can draw them. You never know what might happen, but Porto are through, man. And I thought it was a wrap when Daniele De Rossi put that penalty away.
I thought that too.
But they scored the second goal. They forced the extra time, and that's what happens. It's football, man. Anything could happen at any second.
Roma's gonna be another subject of our talking points today.
Yes,
because this Champions League opened. Well, this past 2 weeks just opened up the floodgates for so many talking points and so many question marks all over just. The footballing world in general, and the more business aspect of the football, the more commercial, business, and gubernatorial aspects of football.
Exactly.
These games are just asking so many questions. Our last game of this week of leg 2.
Wow.
They did the unthinkable.
Just
the
wow.
They inspired us. Like Kofi Kingston inspired all of us that he could win the WWE Championship. Ajax gave Real Madrid the work and did the Lord's work and got rid of Los Blancos.
And taught them a damn lesson.
In Vikingeros. They taught them those... First off, Real Madrid were so arrogant.
Yep.
Arrogant coming into this game.
Yep.
What's it called? Sergio Ramos purposely gets a yellow because, I don't need to play this game. They got this in the bag.
Yeah.
He's sitting up there in the stands, but thinking, boy...
They needed me.
Yeah. And then Marcelo, he's already
halfway out the door already.
No, more than half. He's like 3/4 at the door.
He's going to Juve. But that, even on Juve, I don't think he's going to be a starter.
He's not going to be a starter on Juve.
Because Alexandro, I mean, he's probably top 3 best left backs in the world.
Top 3.
So Marcelo going to Juve, he has to know that he's going to probably get like an important role, not crucial.
Probably like a Dani Alves role, like from 2 years ago. Yeah. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
It's going to be, you know, on the career mode now in FIFA where you had to negotiate this squad role. Yeah, he's going to probably be maybe important, maybe even drop down to rotation.
Yeah.
So, he's world class, obviously, Marcelo. He's one of the best left backs ever. But he's got to realize that.
Bale been marred by injuries.
Yep.
And he's booed the shit out of for things that are not out of his control.
Exactly.
You had subpar signings, although they've been playing well in Liga. Yeah. They haven't just done work in the Champions League like Vinicius Jr.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, you can't give the put the blame on the kid. He's only 18.
Yeah. And like you have players that should be stepping up, but you could tell their heart is not in there.
Asensio, like, Asensio, Isco, Benzema.
Well, Isco has always been pissed off in the past 2 years. He's been treated like shit by Florentino Perez.
He's gotta go.
I think after this season, there's gonna be a massive overhaul, but we're gonna get to that.
Yeah, but they did the unthinkable, man. 4-1.
I know. And then Benzema. Benzema is sorry.
Yeah.
Benzema is trash. Benzema can't do anything. He's past his prime.
Yep.
He came, he should have went to Juventus when they wanted him when he was on Lyon, because he was number two to Ronaldo, the number three to Ronaldo and Bale.
Yep.
And now he's expected to be the main man, him and Bale. He can't carry it. He can't carry the team.
He came, he saw, he conquered for little, but it's way past his time.
Exactly. If he's Carmelo. Trash! Throwing bricks!
Woo! That's some Ric Flair vintage right there. But
he's trash.
But Ajax, man, becoming the old European powerhouse.
Let's talk about Dusan Tadic.
This 10 guy out of 10.
He couldn't get into a Southampton side in the Prem.
10 out of 10 performance.
And that happens?
10 out of 10. He did a 360 on I don't know who it was and looked up and played the perfect through ball to my man David Nierisch, or however you say his name, who beautifully chipped your boy Courtois.
Don't even say he's my boy. Courtois can go to hell. I was savoring.
You were licking your lips over those four goals.
I had more than licking my lips.
Especially that last goal, the free kick.
I was more. Let's put it this way, children. I was more than licking my lips to watching Courtois get his work done to him. El Rata had what he deserved. He pissed off Chelsea fans by going AWOL. He pissed off Atletico fans by joining their rivals. He's pissing off
Real Madrid fans for being shit.
Exactly. He pissed off Kevin De Bruyne fans for stealing his chick.
Oh my god. This guy's...
He's making enemies everywhere. And now we all unite together in love, laughing at this bum.
I actually feel bad because he kind of looks like our boy Mark Noss.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right. Mark, shout out to Mark. But dude, who would have thought that 4 out of the 8 teams in the Champions League quarterfinals would be Tottenham, Ajax, Porto, and Manchester United?
All I'm saying is, if there were like everyone's brackets, if people do participate in brackets, I don't.
Everything got screwed up.
It got screwed up. Yeah.
Yep. To have PSG, Real Madrid out in the round of 16.
And fantasy was
screwed. See you around. All your bets are going out the window.
Yeah. Like.
But let now there's still another half of the fixtures which still need to undergo their second leg.
Yeah.
Which, if they can do it, if they can pull an Ajax, if it's Schalke can go to Manchester City and probably pull the even more impossible because they lost at home 3-2. I would be shocked.
I would be happy.
I would be hella happy. Manchester City, Real Madrid, PSG out of the round of 16, then it's anybody's Champions League this year. Yeah, not true. And even maybe Barcelona go out with Lyon. All they have to do is score an away goal and then you never know what might happen. So it's interesting, man. And even you got another one that's right down the middle with it, which is Bayern and Liverpool. So
that's anyone's game. And Liverpool have been in pretty bad form. Bayern are on the come up.
Yep.
Liverpool have been slipping in form. So it's do or die for Liverpool.
Yep.
They have to put all their guns. Jurgen Klopp has to put all his guns into this.
And it could be a season defining game, actually.
It could be on it. Because if they lose this game, they're not going to win the title.
No, 100% not.
They're not winning the title. They'll be so mentally fragile and embarrassed from this. I am waiting for a meltdown, though, because I enjoy it when Liverpool... Because they're the loudest on the internet.
They are.
And they're the most obnoxious and annoying. And this is ironic coming from a Chelsea fan, too.
Yeah, but you guys are pretty annoying, too.
I'm not that annoying. I'm a sweetheart.
The fans.
I know. But Liverpool fans are even louder. You never... Cue in the SpongeBob meme. You never walk alone! With, like, all the little capital lowercase levels. You never walk alone!
It's alright. I thought Spurs were gonna win the league, and that's not happening either. So
it's
silly. Everybody gets hyped for the teams, and it ends up turning to shit. But one last one that could also be a possible comeback is Juve versus Atletico, and it's gonna be in Italy, and it's gonna be a hell of a game.
My boy Morata's on the come up. He's gonna score two on those Juventus Oh my god. On those Italian SOBs.
I can't even speak right now. I need my coffee.
Oh man. But I'm very excited to see what's going to happen in the next, you know, rounds of the Champions League. It's turning out to be a hell of a competition this year. I do want to also mention one thing, and you know, part of the game is obviously the players. Part of the game is obviously the coaches and the staff and all the money that goes into it. But what about the referees?
They've been pretty freaking bad lately.
I think they've been pretty bad too. Like, even with this VAR, I think they need to step up their game and take more control
just
of their...
Today at the during the Everton game, mm-hmm. I forgot what referee was. It was the one who got punched banned in the sideline.
Oh, Mike Dean.
Mike Dean screwed up again on his calls, a penalty that should have been given a penalty.
Yeah.
And you see Marco Silva bugging out, yelling at him. And you could already expect that Marco Silva is going to get a two-match ban.
Yeah, that's why Pochettino was standing in the
stands.
Same
thing with Pochettino. Like, so there's been a really big decline in refereeing lately. It could also go to the schedules. Like, sometimes... Here's the thing why English referees didn't get called up for the World Cup. They're so inconsistent, and the fact that they're doing... A lot of them do UEFA and
the domestic leagues.
Domestic leagues. It's, you could tell they're starting to get fatigued. And that clouds their judgment. So there needs to be a sort of reform in this. Also, with VAR, a lot of players have been calling them out saying they're getting analysts in there, not actual football referees.
That's what I heard too. It's not like a referee.
It wasn't just Neymar. A number of players started called it out. Like, there's only just one referee looking in the background while all the different camera angles are just like...
Which doesn't make any sense because it's called video assistant referee.
It should be referees. It should
not
be
some like analyst.
If you don't have the money, create some damn jobs. Don't hire some schmuck analyst or some TV production assistant to look at these things.
It's like having our producer Gad in VAR.
Exactly.
What the hell? Well, Gad's gonna be like, oh, touchdown.
Exactly.
What the hell?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly.
Fucking A. But it just begs
the question, like, do you see the future of refereeing being automated?
I hope not. I really hope not. There's a whole different topic of technology and where it's going and how it could be our best friend or worst enemy. And
well, at the rate that artificial intelligence is going in right now, it's increasing exponentially. We're already having self-driving cars. They're talking about getting rid of truck driver jobs in the next 10 years.
Yeah. They're talking about getting rid of credit cards.
Talking about getting rid of doctors.
They're talking about getting rid of movie theaters.
So what's it called? So we could possibly get rid of referees and have mechanical referees going in, or just a computer looking at everything.
Yeah.
And just running algorithms, and not all the time are they correct.
Yeah.
Like, there's errors or there's glitches in the system. And
but I feel why get an automated one when the amount of errors are gonna be at the same level? Like, you know, we're human, we make mistakes. The shit's gonna bound to like mess up and make a mistake. So. And I feel like that's going to be even more controversial because it's supposed to not make mistakes at all.
But the reason why it would sound just so damn appealing to people to the FA governing bodies like FIFA, UEFA, the English, and all the Spanish ones, and whatever.
Yeah.
It's just going to save money and wages. More money, more profit, and more money to invest in merchandising and TV deals and all that stuff rather than paying a bunch of schmucks to run around the field with a bunch of players.
It's sad. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Let's go into now the three, you know, or four teams that we wanted to talk about more in depth. And one of them is Roma.
What the hell is going on with that team? Okay, first off, they sacked their manager after a subpar Champions League.
Who I was never a fan of.
He was never the right fit.
Eusebio Di Francesco or whatever you pronounce his name. He just... When you look at him on the touchline and you look at that Stadio Olimpico and you look at that caliber of a team and its history and stuff, it just wasn't the right fit. Sometimes you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but I did, and it came out to be true.
Also, you have to question Roma's transfer policies because they did not help Eusebio either. All right? The former sporting director who just left, Monchi, who was a goalkeeper at Sevilla back in the day, and who was credited with creating Sevilla's academy that found players... like Dani Alves and Jesus Navas and all those guys, he sold their biggest players with no adequate replacements.
Nainggolan.
Salah.
Yep.
Emerson.
Yep.
Strootman. The list goes on and on and on.
And who did they bring in?
No one.
Nobody.
They brought nobody's in. They brought young kids. I respect that they're doing young kids.
The only one that was good was Zaniolo, the
exactly.
new kid. And he's just starting to get
in form. He's just starting to get form. But what about all the other kids?
Yeah. You need, like, literally, if you're going to do that, you need to swap.
Exactly.
With somebody else, just as good.
They're just not good enough.
Or, like, at least has, you know, the caliber to become that good.
They're getting rid of vital players who provided leadership support.
Yeah.
You look at that team, besides...
Dzeko, maybe?
I don't see Dzeko as a leader.
Yeah.
I don't see Dzeko as a leader.
He's not going to go into the...
De Rossi, leader.
De Rossi, of course.
Leader, yes.
Well, that's the only one, and he's going to...
Manolas, I could see him of a leader type. He commands the backfield a lot.
Yeah.
I could see him as a leader. If you look at that thing...
But other than that...
Do you see any other leaders in the team?
No.
No. I rest my case.
Yeah.
It's just,
you need to have at least, like, five.
Yeah. And then you say, I hope the appointment of Claudio Ranieri to Roma.
Mm-hmm.
Claudio Ranieri, whoever I'm a big fan of, and he has an eye for talent.
Yeah, he does.
I hope he gets... It didn't work out for Fulham because Fulham was just mission impossible.
That's true. I thought he was going to do it.
I thought he was
going to... They're going down.
They're going down. You know what it is? I keep saying this. Mm-hmm. No one wants to talk about it. The Khan family just aren't putting their eggs in Fulham. Yep. They're putting their eggs in AEW.
Yeah.
They ain't going to buy players. Kenny Omega, Cody, the Bucks, they cost too damn much.
Exactly.
A lot of foreshadowing going on, folks. We're also working on a wrestling podcast.
Stay tuned. To be continued.
Stay tuned. But no, like, Ranieri couldn't do it over there.
Yeah.
However, in Roma, he does have the tools. They are quality players.
Yeah.
They just need fine-tuning. And I think Ranieri, with his type of personality,
yep.
his fatherly figure presence, his much more laid-back approach...
is going to be much better for them.
Yes.
And he's at home.
Exactly. He played at Roma.
Exactly.
He was defender on Roma. So it's a homecoming. If he can make it to top five...
I think this year it's going to be a fight. But at least give him the summer transfer window, start fresh next season.
Yeah.
I could definitely see them contending for the title. Why not?
Hell, bring back Nainggolan.
Yeah.
He wants to leave Inter.
Does he?
There's rumors saying he's not happy over
there. Wow.
He's not happy over there.
Hmm.
So if he comes back to Roma,
yeah.
that's some leadership you need to mount the troops. And he'd be perfect for Ranieri. Like, Ranieri would let him smoke all the cigarettes he wants.
And I feel like, you know, with you know, you got Ranieri, who's a great coach, who could give you that motivation and that mindset and mentality. I feel like if he gets a transfer market, they need to make a big statement by signing a big player. Like, I'm trying to think of a perfect
Gareth Bale.
No, not even that big. Like, that's way overdoing it. Like, Nabil Fekir.
That'd be a solid signing.
Like, if they get, like, a player like Nabil Fekir, who's killing it in Lyon, who has the leadership qualities, who could come in and just add so much to their attack, like, that's a statement. That's like, hey, we're coming for the Scudetto. Bye-bye, Juventus. You've had your nice run.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And add a solid defender with it. I don't see why not. I really don't see why not.
No, true.
Another team that, you know, just went out of the Champions League also that we mentioned earlier. What do Real Madrid have to do? I know they've been fantastic in the Champions League, and they won 3 in a row. But obviously, you know, all empires have to fall.
They're a club in transition. And the Ronaldo exit just showed...
Ronaldo and Zidane.
Yeah, it just showed how fragile that club was. They were the guys keeping it together.
Pretty much.
And that's the problem with Madrid. And that too. And you have a problem? Their president.
Yeah.
No, that's the elephant in the room that no one is talking about. Florentino Perez is the biggest cancer over there. He's too involved with the players' lives in the club.
It is, yeah.
When he's just the president... He should be involved in the players' lives, but look at all other presidents in clubs.
They keep
a distance. But if you look at the two clubs that have the presidents too heavily involved, PSG and
Real,
they're both falling apart right
now. Yeah, that's very true.
And with Real Madrid, they have... The reason why apparently they didn't use that Ronaldo money to sign someone big was that they're renovating the stadium.
Are they?
It's a 500 million euro project.
It's a lot of money, man.
According to the Italian website, Gazzetta dello Sport.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Second of all, they're trying to invest, from what I see, they're trying to, like, bring up the young guns, but they're just not stepping into the plate. And plus, you have arrogance is a big problem with Real Madrid.
They are.
You have arrogant characters like Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, who's your number one leader. Yeah.
What's it called? Varane, who's also arrogant, but a very weak leader.
Yeah. Like, he's a solid player, though.
He's a solid player, but he's a World Cup winner. You're supposed to be the guy. More. You're supposed to be doing more. You're supposed to be like, okay, leaders are out of the play. Let me step up.
Exactly.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
And I feel like part of it also has to do with the money that they're getting. Like, some players, I feel like, are just starting not to care.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going out. They're having fun. Bail. Yeah. Bail. They're having fun because it's, you know, well, it's their passion and they love playing the sport of football. But where's the representation of the badge? Where's that passion when you run up to the fans and you're bugging out that you scored a goal?
Exactly.
You don't see that in Madrid.
No, you don't see that in Madrid. Bail. I don't blame him for feeling the way he does because he's been booed to death no matter. Bale could cure cancer in Madrid and they will still boo the shit out of him.
Should have never left Spurs, buddy.
They will, they just, and you could tell he's lethargic and wants, he has one foot out the door already.
If Spurs sign him back, I think that would be a statement. I think he could resurrect his career back at Spurs.
He has to stay healthy. That's his biggest thing. He's made out of glass.
He wasn't like that at Spurs. I don't know what, maybe it's just Spain.
The water in Spain is making him weak. But all jokes aside, and then we said arrogance is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have weird business dealings. You lose Ronaldo, yet you sign a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
When you have a
world class, probably world, top five in the world.
in Keylor Navas.
Yeah.
You sign a Courtois who just came out, he had a good World Cup.
He had a good World Cup.
But a shit season at Chelsea.
Terrible.
He was Messi's bitch that Barcelona game.
Yep.
And then you have... I can't even... Like, then you have a culture where the managers...
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was stable with Zidane because he's the favorite son of Madrid. But, like, you have... First off, you disrespected Spain by going after Juan Lopetegui. When he signed a contract with Spain and they were starting to start a World Cup.
That I think that just, from the start, was like, okay, this is Real Madrid's season to, like, destruct.
Exactly.
Just from the beginning.
Everyone, and the funny thing is, all the pundits called it.
Yep.
All the pundits
like,
called
this
it.
This is unlike what it's supposed to be done.
And that's partly due to the arrogance issue they have with, what's it called, with Florentino Perez, who looks like Darth Sidious from Star Wars. Emperor Palpatine, for those of you who don't know.
Oh, God.
He just looks like a slimy old man that like goes to like Cabo and goes to like 21-year-old models like, hey, do you want to come to my yacht?
That sounds like the guy from Despicable Me. Gru.
Yeah,
he kind of looks like him too.
Gru's cuter and funnier and much more charming than Florentino
this
Perez.
This is true, but but yeah, man, I don't know. I think, like I said earlier, I think they're a club to buy. They have, you know, they're obviously one of the most expensive, rich clubs in the world. I think they're going to go all out for Mbappe and Neymar.
They will. But the question is, now they're saying that Santiago Solari, who unfortunately it's not his, it could be his fault due to tactics, but like he couldn't salvage this issue. It was just a deeper root that just began to crack.
Solari's gone. He's not going to,
he's going to be gone, but they're saying that there's three managerial candidates.
From now up until when?
They're saying that it's going to be Mourinho, Zidane, and Conte.
Zidane back again?
Zidane back again. Huh. These are the top three that they're looking at
now. Conte, you said, right?
Conte.
Yeah.
Because he's always wanted Conte.
And
Conte was going to Madrid until Sergio Ramos stepped in. Now, I guess because Sergio Ramos pulled that shit, he's losing his power.
Word.
Now, they're saying that Jose Mourinho...
Until the end of the season?
Yeah, until the end of the season.
That would be hella interesting to watch.
It'll be hilarious, too, seeing all these players.
Yeah, going back under Mourinho's style of play and like, hey, I'm back.
Hey, boys, I'm back.
You will listen to what I have to say and park the bus.
No, you know already Sergio Ramos is benched.
Oh, probably. He favors Varane, too. Varane and probably like Nacho or something like that.
he favored Nacho, too. You know, you already know Sergio Ramos is done after Mourinho's. But when one of these three coaches, if Zidane is appointed, I could see them going in for Neymar and Mbappe.
I don't think Zidane's going to go. I really don't think. I think he knew that it was going to melt down, and why would you go back and try to rebuild?
Well, it's your baby, you know?
Nah, I don't think so. I think he could go to a better club.
He could be end up at Juventus, for all we know.
That is another possibility, yes.
Yeah, but got coaches like Mourinho and Conte. The players like Neymar and Mbappe's caliber, they don't
fit
their philosophy.
But I do think Conte would be an excellent fit at Madrid. I feel like he would just be like, get your shit together or else no more, like, I don't know, fucking dessert for you.
There was no dessert under Conte at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Apparently, a funny story about Antonio Conte at Chelsea. Sorry for the sidetrack.
Go ahead.
So when his first week at Chelsea, he's like examining, because he is strict on diet too. He made the players eat cold food before the games because hot food, like, it makes
heartburn and shit.
Well, it makes you, it's also longer to digest and it makes you tired. cold food takes less energy to burn down, break down. So he was testing the canteen in at Chelsea's Cobham training ground.
Yeah.
And they have something called brown sauce, which is like, I guess, like teriyaki sauce. And
I tried that in England. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Apparently, Conte dipped his finger and licked it.
It's kind of sweet.
He wanted to throw up.
Yeah, it's a like, distinct taste.
Like his overdramatic Italian ass just decided to throw up. So I'm just like, Conte was like, he'll change up a lot of things in Madrid, and he's probably best for them.
Yeah.
And it's best for Chelsea because we know if Conte goes, Hazard don't want to go.
Exactly.
He'll stay at Chelsea. He'll be like, Sacre bleu, let me sign the contract.
Yeah. But I, out of those three candidates, I do think Conte would be the best. How it would be for like the players that they bring in, I'm not really sure. But I feel like he would be the type of coach to get them back to winning ways. Because at his first season at Chelsea, he won the English Premier League, which is a very, very difficult task to do in your first season in charge. Yeah. So I feel like he could, his first season back, he could actually, you know, bring Real Madrid to become relevant again in La Liga, because it's always Barcelona or Atletico in the past few years.
Yeah.
You know, Real Madrid have been always playing this game with the Champions League and not paying any attention to La Liga. So if they want some domestic success, I think Conte would be a very good fit. So
I think so too. But yeah, let's just wait and see what happens with Real Madrid. But
yeah, man.
All we can know for sure, Ronaldo's sitting in his villa in Turin.
Yeah.
With his hot-ass wife and, like, six kids laughing.
But he might not be laughing if Atletico kick him out of the Champions League.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
So he's got a couple of more days.
No, you know what he's doing? He's training. He's training like Rocky right now in, like, the mountains of Turin. They just see the old Italian nonna just giving him, like, some Italian food. He's like, no. It's like training like Rocky right now. He's ready to... He has a picture of Morata on a tree just, like, punching it down.
Hey, man, if Juventus overturn this tie and get past Atletico, they have a real shot of winning it, because...
This is the year they can do it. This is the year they have to do it. They must. There is no excuses. Yeah, the midfield is shit.
Yeah.
But you have solid attacking players
and solid defense. And yeah, solid keep.
Yeah, the game is won in the midfield, but Pjanic could do... If on a good day, Matuidi and Bentancur could help out Pjanic a lot.
That's true. I really like Bentancur. He's still, what, 20? He's still got a shitload
of football.
A lot of
Juventus fans would beg to differ.
Really? Interesting.
But
you never know. Maybe Emre Can and Khedira can step up. Emre Can has been scoring a few goals here.
He has been scoring a few goals here and there.
He's kind of giving them that box-to-box feel. Yeah. So you never know. He might come up big.
Yeah, you never know. The unlikely hero.
Exactly. Emre Can. Who knows?
Yeah. Eat your heart out, Jurgen Klopp. But
imagine Juventus go through and end up playing Liverpool, who can also advance in the next round.
And
Emre Can score.
Virgil van Dijk slips, and Emre Can's the one who scores. And then you just see Liverpool fans be like, "You won't, mate. Never walk alone. Yeah. Walk on." God, Liverpool fans make me sick. Except for like three of them, who I love dearly.
Yes.
But regardless, most Liverpool fans make me sick.
You know what else is making me sick, man? Tottenham's form as of late. They've been absolutely, like, I don't even know.
What's going on with you guys?
I really don't know the word to describe it. Trash. Garbage.
Sorry.
Sorry. Arrogant. Complacent. Which are the two words that Pochettino used today in his post-match on his team when we lost 2-1 today.
That's a good coach right there.
Yeah. He said Tottenham were arrogant and complacent today against Southampton, who we...
That was a surprising game. Yo,
First off,
you have to give credit to James Ward-Prowse.
I knew that was going in. As soon as it was set up, it was central, and I was like, this kid is going to bury it right in the top corner. I'm just waiting. We're counting down the seconds until he goes off and starts celebrating, which his celebration was actually so stupid. He did like a Cristiano Ronaldo flip, and it looked terrible. But props to the kid. Props to the kid. He buried the free kick, and I think buried Tottenham's season as far as the Premier League goes, because a few weeks ago we were shooting and challenging for the title, and now we're in a top four race. And if depending on how results go tomorrow, there could be only 1 point difference between like Chelsea and Manchester United and Arsenal.
Top four is gonna be a war.
It's gonna be a big war, and I fear the worst because. As a Spurs fan, you have to think it's the worst case scenario, because that's how it's been for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
We go out of the Champions League quarterfinals. We have nothing to play for. We don't get top four. Then that's literally Pochettino. Pochettino's gone. Eriksen's gone. Kane is gone.
Where would Pochettino go though?
Yeah, 100%.
Where would he go?
Real Madrid. We forgot to mention that.
Oh yeah, Pochettino could go to Real Madrid.
Done. Take Kane and Eriksen with him.
Benzema's due for a replacement. They're due to replace Benzema.
Benzema will probably come to Tottenham if that's the case. Like in the swap deal, part of the plus cash for Kane.
I'm sorry, man.
You see where one result can go, or a few good results can go? The whole season.
Here's the thing. I spoke last time about the Kepa conundrum.
Yeah.
Yes, it brought the team back together.
Mm-hmm.
Sarri's getting his shit together. The players are getting their shit together.
Good. I want him to stay.
I want him to stay too because we have a transfer ban looming.
Yeah.
And let me say this about FIFA. FIFA is the most incompetent, most corrupt, most piece of shit sports governing organization in the world. They are worse than the NFL. They make Roger Goodell look like Harriet Tubman.
She was a good woman.
You're gonna tell us that we're corrupting, we're breaking the rules when we have our books balanced, that everything we've been abiding to FFP when clubs like PSG and what's it called?
Real.
And not even Real. PSG and Man City have been spending and spending and spending over the years. We have a policy of one player in, one player out. One player in, one player out. And everyone knows this. Everyone.
It's true. I'll let you finish.
And then you have the nerve to say we broke the rules when you took bribe money. Yes, bribe money to hold from Qatar to hold the 2022 World Cup. A country with no footballing history, mind you. A country built on lies and oil and death. A country that had their stadiums built. They took the passports of the workers that were worked there. These are nationals from Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, and other lower Arab countries. They take their passports, put them in shitty hostels, make them work long slave hours, say they can't go back to talk to their families, and then you're gonna have the nerves to say Chelsea Football Club is a poorly run organization? Fuck you, FIFA. Fuck you and go to hell.
That was crazy. But all I have to say with Chelsea is that you guys loan out way too much players.
Okay. You know who does that too? Half the team in Serie A.
I understand, but 40 players, Anton?
Okay.
40?
Juventus has 36. No one's complaining.
Crazy.
No one's going and pointing a finger at Juve.
I don't know, man. I just feel like Chelsea have always been like, let's just buy, see what happens, and then if it doesn't work out, like, just send them out for now, figure it out later.
Okay,
and that's poorly run. Like, yeah, if you're gonna bring someone in and invest money, you should at least have a plan for them.
But
that's why you guys got rid of all your talent, like De Bruyne and Salah and Lukaku and all this.
Regardless, right now we have to fight for top four. We have to get our shit together.
I think you guys will.
And I pray for the love of God, please, Hudson-Odoi, sign the contract first. I'm okay if Hazard walks.
You know what I predict actually for the Premier League?
What?
I have a feeling it's going to be, obviously, I don't know who's going to win the league, Man City or Liverpool.
Man City. It's done.
Whatever. Let's say Man City first, it's Liverpool done. Second. I actually have a feeling United is going to end up being third. Chelsea is going to end up being fourth. Arsenal is going to end up being fifth. And Spurs are going to be in sixth. Watch.
You think so?
We can't. The only thing that would save our season is winning the Champions League, which is the mission impossible.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, and they finally, hooray, we're opening our new stadium in early April. I don't know if you heard, which is great, which is 3/4 into the season, which is supposed to have promised us in the beginning of August for our home opener, but that didn't happen. So
that's where we live in Toronto, yay!
Yeah.
You just sounded like that.
So
right
this
now.
This whole season for Spurs has been a big question mark, and the only thing to save it is this very unrealistic task, mission, I don't know what you want to call it, journey of the Champions League, but I just don't see it happening. I think
is the word you're looking for.
Quest. I'm fearing the worst for Spurs because I just know that if we don't make Champions League this year and we just got the new stadium, Pochettino's out, Kane's out, Eriksen's out, and we're left with Son and Dele Alli, who are great players with no support. And you know how we are in the transfer market. And this is getting me sit down and depressed. Because we had such a good team. And if we just invested a little bit more, we could have been this great world-class team. We could have won a title. We could have let the curse out of this 10-plus years now. Our last freaking cup was the Carling Cup back in 2008. All right. I'm done. I'm done. I just hope that at least now, I just hope that we get into the Champions League to keep those players. Because, you know, it's unacceptable for players like Harry Kane and Eriksen and Son to be playing in the Europa League. It is unacceptable. Just like how you guys feel with Hazard and Willian and, you know, Azpilicueta playing in the Europa League. It's unacceptable. These are top-class players that should be in the Champions League every year. So, I mean, I know it's competitive. Probably the most competitive league in the world. But if you want to compete with the best, you gotta change it up. You gotta spend. Your last signing was Lucas Moura in January of 2018. It's been over a year without a signing.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the stadium, but if there's some more bullshit in the summer where, like, oh, because of the stadium, you know, expenses, we're still not gonna buy in the summer. Like, then see you around.
Yeah. I want to go. We talked about the Europa League, how it shouldn't be top world-class players.
Yep.
Shouldn't be playing in the Europa League, but there are this year. We are blessed with having world-class players in the Europa League because it gives us a reason to watch it.
It is a very good competition, by the way. I'm not shitting on the Europa League at all because a lot of, you know, players shine and are made in the Europa League.
Yes.
You know, like a team like Sevilla. Like, they're killing it in the Europa League, you know?
Well, that's I want to go into that today.
Yeah, Slavia Praha got two big away goals and a 2-2 draw with Sevilla, which was very unlikely.
And they were the favorites.
Yeah.
They were the favorites. So it's looking good for other teams. Like, you have Eintracht, who had zero. Inter.
Zero.
Zero.
Yep. Who is still Icardi's big issues with Inter Milan.
Yeah.
He's another one that could go to Madrid, but I think Florentino Perez, like you mentioned, is too involved in the players' lives that he wouldn't go for a player like Icardi.
Exactly, yeah. He wouldn't go for a player like Icardi. Icardi would hate him, actually.
Probably, yeah. Hell, come to Spurs if we're still in the Champions League, buddy.
I can see him going to Barcelona making a comeback.
You think so? Nah. Or for, like, Suarez replacement?
Yeah, Suarez replacement.
I don't think so. I think they'll go for, like, a young talent like that kid, Luka Jovic, who's on Frankfurt.
Eintracht Frankfurt, that's maybe.
Well, somebody like that.
Well, Suarez was he was, like, his 28. He was, like, 28 when Barca bought him.
I know. But, like, he's still, you know, he did have a dip in form, but he's back to his best now.
Yeah, back to his best, yeah.
So, like, I think he's going to stay there.
I wouldn't call him the best striker in the world, though.
No. Definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not. But back to the Europa League, a big upset was Stade Rennes of Ligue 1.
Another one you called.
Yeah.
Another one you called.
Did I call that one?
You did call
that
one.
What did I say?
You said, don't be so sure. They've been playing so good, and they might give Arsenal one for their money. And lo and behold, Arsenal's meltdown was nothing short of spectacular.
I mean, you do have to still... There is still another away leg for them, which is in at the Emirates Stadium. They did get an important away goal. So you never know. They might turn it around, but... Congrats and credit and props to Stade Rennes for pulling out that 3 win.
They don't have a big part of their defense next game.
Yeah.
Socrates was red carded.
Exactly. In the
41st minute, so...
Koscielny's going to have to step up big and not let in an away goal.
We'll wait and see.
We'll see about that.
See.
Your boys Chelsea got a big 3-0
win. I want to point out that Dynamo Kiev kicked the shit out of us 2 years ago. Like, no, it was 2015.
I think so.
Yeah, it was 2015. They kicked it. The 2015-2016 season, they kicked the shit out of us.
You were worried about a team like this, by the way, when drawing them. But you guys did great.
We did great. I was surprised.
Yep.
What's it called? Great goal from Higuain. Mm-hmm. Great goal from Willian.
Yep.
Great goal from Callum.
Yep.
I'm happy with it. I want to point out that Willian's free kick goal...
It was beautiful, by the way.
...was the same goal... as he did against Dynamo Kiev in the Champions League 3 years ago.
Same corner.
Same angle, same corner, same everything. It was the stuff of... It was just coincidence.
The
pure
deja vu.
Coincidence. It was crazy. I want to point out a retcon. It was... Shout out to my boy Pedro. Uh-huh. I did not... I made a mistake by saying... I was thinking of the other game, the Premier League game.
Against Fulham, yeah.
Yes. It was Pedro who scored the goal. Mind you, Pedro...
Has been stepping up recently.
I'm just hoping his... I never said he lost his form.
Yeah.
I just said he has a problem staying healthy.
So hopefully he stays healthy and stays consistent. He's always been consistent. It's just hopefully his injury scares...
I want to point out that Joe Cole, Chelsea legend, said that he wants... Because I think he's with the Chelsea Academy right now.
Mm-hmm.
He instructs his young wingers and midfielders
to
watch Pedro's movement on the wings.
He's very good.
In terms of offense and defense.
Yeah.
And how he switches and everything and he links up play and everything.
He's very good at that.
He's one of the best in the world at that.
Yep.
And no one talks about him.
No. A lot of players, you know, they go by, like, the big names, you know?
They go by goals scored and assists them. Like,
they don't talk about, like, the hard work that's done and the hustle that some of these players do, like Pedro, you know?
And Pedro is one of the biggest hustlers.
Oh, very true.
Very true. Shout out to him for scoring a goal. He loves a goal against you, your boys, man. He loves a goal against your boys.
Fucking A, man. Fucking A.
He loves you guys.
Yeah.
Pedrito, Habibi.
Habib Albi.
Yeah. Mm. Napoli. 3-0 against, 3-0 against Red Bull Salzburg. Red Bull
Salzburg, I think.
Yeah.
That's, wouldn't it be interesting to have a Napoli and Chelsea Europa League final, huh?
I have a feeling it's gonna happen. Or a semi-final, at least. Cause, like, Sarri comes home to Napoli, Carlo comes home to the team he managed!
This is not the quarterfinal, right? No, this is round of 16. Okay, so there's still plenty of...
Still a lot of time to play.
Yeah.
Dynamo Zagreb, 1-0 against Benfica, which is surprising.
Surprising, but I could see Benfica coming back strong in Portugal.
Yeah.
Valencia getting a nice 2-1 home 3-1
win. 3-1 win. Home,
No, oh, 2-1. You're thinking Villarreal.
Yeah,
it's very similar clubs.
Yeah, I can't read.
Villarreal got three goal away goals.
That's pretty Russia good. Too. That is a hard place to play.
Yeah, especially in Spanish weather and going there in this time of the year.
Yeah,
big props to them.
Yeah,
but yeah, man, Europa League. Like you said, we are blessed to have some of these players. You know, like Chelsea players, like Napoli players, like Valencia, like Inter Milan. All these great teams, you know. It's going to be a hell of a Europa League ride this year.
Yeah.
So, all around, I think, you know, the past, like, year, 2018, 2019, has been very, like, unexpected in the world of football.
Yes.
And I think it all started with the World Cup on how, like, you know, a team like Croatia made it to the World Cup final and Modric won the Ballon d'Or and all this stuff was, like, the year of the unexpected.
Yep.
So, I'm hoping that it continues. Well,
all hope it continues, but yeah. We'll see what happens. All right, so we have a lot to catch up on with Premier League.
Yeah, man.
Let's start back to match day 29. Yep. Yes, this is a jam-packed episode, folks. We're making it up to you.
Exactly.
We want to start off with your boys, Tottenham.
Tottenham.
Against the Arsenal, mate.
Fuck them. Dude, that game...
Gave you anxiety?
More than that. Panic attack, anxiety, whatever you want to call it.
Yo, because Aubameyang just with the mess up on the penalty, bro.
Dude, I was like, this is like terrible.
The stuff of nightmares.
I was like, we got back into the game. Yes, Harry Kane was offside for our penalty claim, you know. But again, that's what going back to our pointing out of the VAR and how it should be actually referees. But to concede a penalty so late in a North London derby and have a player with the quality of Aubameyang to step up and miss. Just that huge sigh of relief to get us our first draw of the season. It was a good point because we just came off of two terrible losses against Burnley and your beloved Chelsea.
Yeah.
So I'll take a first point of the season against a very game Arsenal.
That game. All right.
Man City won by the skin of their teeth against Bournemouth, and I thought it was going to be a more convincing win, but it only ended up being 1-0.
I was rooting for Bournemouth, man. We were just hoping they were the heroes we needed that game.
Yeah, man. A very entertaining game between Man United and Southampton.
That was a
very fun game to watch. I turned on the TV. I remember you mentioning in like the first few episodes of the podcast, like, you know, we don't just want to watch, like, our respective teams, you know, Chelsea and Spurs.
Yeah.
We want to turn on NBC Sports and just watch other Premier League teams play, and we want to see entertaining games.
Yeah,
and this is exactly what it was. This is what
I wanted, and it was a great game. Southampton gave it to them.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Southampton because I feel like they deserved at least a point for their valiant effort.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of sick-ass goals in that game, man. No. Valerie's goal was a rocket.
Pereira's goal was the best one of the game. Yeah. Pereira's goal. That was my favorite goal of that game.
Lukaku came up clutch that game with two like very clinical finishes.
Yeah.
So that was a very entertaining game to watch. And, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing some work. Yeah. And I think, like I said, I just predicted. I think they're going to be third.
Maybe.
They're going to be third.
Wolves, keeping their dream for the Europa League alive. They are one of the most underrated teams in the Prem. No one thought, they were just promoted. No one thought. Everyone was writing them off and they're like, oh, they're just signing all these players. They're not going to play well together.
Yeah, everyone was hyping up Fulham more.
Yeah, and look at the way they're playing. It's like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Props to the coach, man. I like that coach, Nuno Santo, or whatever his name is. He just looks, I think you mentioned some character that he looks like.
He looks like Kratos from God of War.
There it is, yeah.
He looks like Kratos. Boy. Play ball correctly. Boy.
West Ham picking up a 2-0 win over Newcastle. That's kind of... that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Fulham losing again to your to your Chelsea in the London derby.
Well, and this is I wasn't happy with this game they performed because yeah. The second half we just first half we were fantastic.
Higuain got the goal.
Jorginho
got a nice goal. Jorginho,
finally.
That was his first goal?
It was his second goal.
Oh, besides like from open play probably.
Goal from open play, yes. But this was a great goal by Jorginho.
Beautiful.
Coming off a string of bad luck, especially with that penalty and everything.
Yep.
And finally, like, he's getting more comfortable playing in the Premier League.
Very true.
He's finally being able to avoid these man markers that constantly plague him every game.
I've seen that he's kind of switched up his role. He always used to sit back deep next to the defense.
What I think would happen is what I predicted. Sarri's playing the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
Leaving Higuain a bit more isolated.
Uh-huh.
Hazard in the left.
Yep.
With either like a Ross Barkley or a Kovacic or a Loftus-Cheek playing the number 10 role. Or like intertwining with Hazard a bit more.
Yeah.
And Willian on the right. And then with Higuain. It's a modified 4-3-3.
And then Conte and Jorginho in the middle.
Conte's playing that role he does best.
Just cleaning house.
I think we need to stick with that formation for the smaller games, for the more teams that like, yeah, park the bus on us, because for the big games, everyone attacks each other. And that's what we did. We didn't play that tactic against Spurs.
Yeah.
We did the regular 4-3-3.
Yep.
And we did phenomenal with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So, I finally...
Sorry, switching it up.
He's finally beginning to tinker, yep, which is something that Chelsea fans have been begging for.
Yeah.
Screaming for. Crying for.
Yep.
And it's finally paying us very little dividends. But second half... more work. Kepa kept us in the game. I've been saying this over and over again. All the key, aside from the blunder during the cup final,
yep,
which was his fault. A lot of the goals conceded,
not his fault,
or the dumb actions were not his fault.
Yeah,
Kepa has kept us in so many games with his saves, and he is worth every penny.
He's only what, 24, man?
He's only gonna get better.
He has like a solid 15 years still.
Yeah, and plus. Those saves he made, don't at me at this, people. Courtois wouldn't have made them. That snake giraffe bastard would have not made them. Don't at me.
You sound like that. I don't know why, but I've been seeing this a lot on like Instagram comments recently. Yeah. They've been adding like a bunch of weird names just to get like automatic likes. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
What?
Yeah, it's weird because you're like, you said don't at me, and it's like the same
name. Oh, don't at me is like someone.
No, I know. It's like don't Twitter, like, oh, yeah, yeah. And it's on Instagram too. People write don't at me in the comment section. But people have been adding like the at symbol, this one name that like is like a bot account, and it gives you like 500 likes. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what in the world are these people doing? Are they sitting at home and doing absolutely nothing that they have to tag this person to give them some self-confidence to, you know, see a number on their phone?
Yeah.
Like 523?
They need that. People need that. People need validation like that. And it's just a sign of the times we live in. But let's not go into psychology.
Yeah.
Let's go back into the Merseyside Derby.
Which is a very psychological game, actually. Speaking of psychology.
No, that's true. Very.
0-0. Everton held it down. I thought it was going to end up the same
as... Pickford had a good game.
Yeah, I thought it was going to end up the same way as it did the first time, where Liverpool was going to get a late winner.
Late winner.
That was the one that
The
Merseyside derby that I went to and saw live in England. But Liverpool, man, they've been coming up with these 0-0 draws against United, against now Everton, and they're dropping these vital points, and that's why they've now slipped from first to second, and now City's a point above them in the league. So it was for them to lose, and I think they're gonna lose it, man.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna. And honestly, like, obviously, I watch Liverpool because of Salah, not all the time.
Yeah,
but I do like to see how they play and how they perform. And in my opinion, I think if they do not win either the Champions League or the Premier League, I think they have to get rid of Klopp.
Yeah, he has no excuse.
Yeah, he has no excuse.
So does Pochettino. He has no excuse either.
Yeah. So I think they do have to get rid of Klopp and find some. I don't know who. I don't know. Maybe Antonio Conte. I don't know if he would do that.
He would. Those players do not fit with his system.
Yeah.
They would have to go. I could see them actually.
They need like an attacking coach.
I could see them going after maybe Rafa.
Rafa Benitez? No. Back again? No. I don't see that. We need like a coach that that's like kind of like on the radar. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I was going to say Brendan Rodgers, but he actually just signed for Leicester.
Yeah. Who would be? Who actually? That's a good question.
Eusebio Di Francesco.
I could see that happening, actually. Really? You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
But yeah, man.
Or Tuchel.
Thomas Tuchel, yeah, if they could fire him.
Yeah, Tuchel.
Yeah, but I feel like I was never a fan of Tuchel. I feel like he did an okay job at, you know, Dortmund. He's not, I don't think he's doing a good job, like, handling all the egos and personalities at PSG. So to come in and to perform a job at Liverpool and win them a Premier League title, which has been their goal for the past 20 years, it's going to be very difficult for a coach like him, in my opinion. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see in the summer.
So much for hugs and booms.
Yeah.
Boom. Come here, Momo. I'll give you a hug. I'm Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know what's happened with Liverpool. But they do have a game tomorrow against Burnley. But I wouldn't count Burnley out, man.
Burnley's been putting up with the Dukes.
They beat Spurs. I know they've been in terrible form, but they beat us. So I think they have some sort of formula to get points up because they're really fighting to stay in the Premier League. And I'm actually looking a lot at the bottom half of the Premier League table because it's very interesting.
It is.
You have, like, I think what is it? 18th spot from, like, 15th spot. Those, like, four or five spots, like, only separated by, like, 4 points. Like, Newcastle's still there. Cardiff is still there. Brighton and Hove Albion's still there. Southampton's still there. Like, all these teams that, like, it's either you're going to... The one game can decide your season if you're going down to the championship or not. So I'm really liking this year's relegation battle. It's fun to watch.
It's entertaining. It's very entertaining.
Fulham and Huddersfield are definitely
they're down. They're down.
But
it's
that,
over.
That 18th and last spot to go down is still undecided. I think it's gonna end up being Cardiff.
It could be Southampton or Cardiff.
I don't think Southampton. I think they have the fight. And I think they're going to pull off what they did last year and just go ham at the end of the season and pick up points.
Maybe.
Like that they did today against Spurs.
That was a great game. No, I'm not going to fault. That was a fun game to watch.
It was a fun game to watch for a neutral, but definitely not for me because we had such good control of the game in the first half. We had like 9 shots in total. We had like 65% possession. I feel like we could have been a little bit more clinical and just end the game in the first half. But props to the coach because he had some balls and... Not a lot of coaches do this, and he changed some stuff at halftime. He did a double substitution at halftime.
Yeah.
And you don't see that very often. And it ended up paying off for him. So props to the coach, and I feel like also Pochettino's presence on the sideline was dearly missed today because he just has that like look when he puts commander in chief look when he puts his hand on his chin and just like ponders like. I'm going to kill you guys in the dressing room look.
Yeah.
The players get scared of him. Yeah. And apparently that's what Danny Rose actually came out and said during the Arsenal versus Tottenham halftime when they were losing 1-0. Rose said that was the best team talks he's ever had because he said Pochettino literally got him prepped to go out for war in the second half. And we got the point that we needed. It wasn't pretty, but we got the point. And things like that make a difference nowadays. So... Yeah, man, it's been crazy couple of weeks. I think we're done, no?
Yeah, we're done. We still have if we could preview the next week's game. We have to preview 2 more games tomorrow. We got Chelsea Wolves.
Okay.
Wolves beat us last time, but hopefully Sarri tinkers with the formation, puts back Conte next to Jorginho
mm-hmm.
to clean up the midfield, and that way we could break down any counterattack that Wolves could have, because Wolves are a very counterattacking team.
That's a game I want to watch.
Yeah,
that's I feel a game like that's watch. the game of the week because I feel like
not Arsenal, Man United,
no.
Two very attacking teams.
No, I like Chelsea Wolves better. I feel like it's gonna be more like tactical.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
It's a tactical battle that game,
and especially that like Wolves are the away team. They came to Wembley and beat us 3-1. So like they could pull an upset if they really wanted
to. Yeah, they could.
And they have some very good attacking players like Raul Jimenez and Diego Jota who can just kill you on the counterattack.
Exactly.
If they play that style.
Jota especially. Jota's brutal on the counterattack.
So and
such
and,
pace.
And they have like Helder Costa and Adama Traore if they really
needed
them.
What they need to do is start Emerson tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It's not gonna happen.
No, well he's been starting a lot of games. Big games. Alonso's been playing.
So Alonso's been dropped?
It's rotational right now, the left back. In that formation, instead of playing Alonso on the left back, they play Emerson. Just because Emerson has that pace to come back, help the midfield, and help out Hazard.
I got you.
So I'm hoping they keep on with that because if we know Jota's running down that right-hand side, the left side that Alonso's protecting.
That's true.
It's over.
It's a wrap.
We can't depend on David Luiz, Christensen, or Rudiger to cover that.
I
can't.
I could see it being a draw. Maybe like 1-1.
Nah.
You think Chelsea are going to take it?
1-0.
1-0 Chelsea?
One difficult at the bridge.
Hazard? Curler?
Or
your boy Pedro?
No. I'm going to go on a whim.
Jorginho.
My boy. The Frenchman. And Golo. Golo, 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 Golo. Kante.
I could see it happening, actually.
You just see like a loose ball like bumping off someone's chest. And then
he just runs in and just shoots.
Yep.
I could see that happening.
Yep.
And Arsenal, Man U. What do you think about that?
I think Man U is going to kill him.
Really?
I think Man U is just like, they're coming off that high.
Of the PSG? You don't think they're going to be like fatigued? Because they gave a lot in that game. And they're injured. A lot of players are injured, like we said.
Arsenal just haven't been that convincing.
They haven't been, but I feel like they have the home field advantage, and I feel like
those players want to make their players are, these young players are right now like on like they're not on edge, they're motivated. They're like, we kicked the shit out of PSG, now we kick the shit out of it does wonders to have your manager back you like that and it beat a big club like that full of big name players.
Yeah.
You feel like you can take on the world, and I feel like what's going on through these young players' minds is that we did it once. We can do it again.
And I feel like always when Manchester United go to the Emirates Stadium, it's like a dance floor for them. I've seen a couple of memes.
Exactly.
And when Jesse Lingard scores a couple of goals there, he's like just dancing on their grass. So.
Jesse Lingard could be healthy last minute. Maybe. Last minute substitution.
I don't know much about their injuries and who's recovering when, but you never know.
All right.
You never know.
So that's it for this week's fixtures. Let's talk about match day 31. We have a lot of postponed fixtures due to the FA Cup and the Capital One Cup.
And international break, no?
Yeah, we have, well, this is...
This is before the international break?
This is, let's just check the calendar.
Oh, yeah, this is before the international break.
Yep. So, we're going to say the games that are postponed. They're all on still time to be determined. So, Watford-Southampton.
It's postponed.
Brighton-Cardiff City.
Same.
Your Spurs and Crystal Palace.
Yep.
Wolves and Arsenal.
And that's it.
That's it. So, now... Let's go on to the other games. West Ham, Huddersfield. It should be an easy win for West Ham. Don't count Huddersfield out because during this really small clubs or clubs in relegation battle,
they just go all out.
They go all out and West Ham just like is shambolic.
West Ham has been...
It's a time of transition.
They're like Watford, man. They're so inconsistent.
Here's the thing with West Ham, though. Pellegrini's a great coach. He's a fantastic coach. It takes some time to get your, what's it called, philosophy through these players. And these players have had so many managerial changes. So you can't, like, teach an old dog to a new trick.
Correct.
So he needed they got him the personnel he needed, what's his name? Oh, my God. Who's the French? Nasri.
Yeah.
To help, like, create those counterattacks because he knows his philosophy and everything.
Yeah.
Zabaleta has been helping on the defensive end of everything.
Correct.
So... It takes some time. Next season, I think West Ham will be a top 10 team to force with.
They could still end up in the top 10. I think they're I think they are 10th now. Something like that. Let's look at the standings real quick. They're ninth. They're ninth, see?
Yep.
They're a team that could, if on a solid season with some spending money, they could be in the Europa League.
Yeah.
They could really be in the Europa League.
Burnley, Leicester, they're coming off a win today. Jimmy Vardy playing a fantastic game today.
Brendan Rodgers' first game in charge.
Yep, so I think they're still going to keep that high going on, that momentum going on, and I think they
made... A win for Leicester.
A win for Leicester, 1-0 to Burnley, because Burnley gives everyone a hard time.
You think Burnley's going to win them?
No. 1-0 to Leicester.
Oh, I think you said 1-0 to Burnley.
No, I said Leicester.
Oh, did you?
But Burnley's going to give them a hard time.
That's true.
The low scoreline, because Burnley's giving a hard time.
Yep. Bournemouth, Newcastle, that could be right down the middle.
It's going to be right down the middle, but knowing Newcastle... Well, Newcastle got that kid from Atlanta United who's been playing fantastic.
On their own, yeah.
He's been playing great.
And they got a great comeback win today. They were down 2-0 and they won 3-2.
Exactly.
So you never know.
You never know. Bournemouth also playing great right now.
Yep.
They're solid defensively. I think Nathan Ake moving to the midfield helped them tremendously because you have other center backs doing the job and Nathan Ake is playing the kind of like that cleanup role.
Yeah.
That Nemanja Matić, N'Golo Kanté, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So he's doing that, which is great.
Fulham, Liverpool.
Liverpool's going to win. Next.
No. I'm going to call it from now and I'm calling a Fulham upset. I think Fulham's going to win this game. Don't ask why.
Honestly, yeah. Screw Liverpool. Fulham, thank you. Next.
I really think for some strange reason, this just looks like a game that Liverpool is just going to bottle.
That'd be hilarious.
And because, like, you know, and is this going to be after their Champions League game?
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
So if they go out of the Champions League, they're going to come into this game with, like, shit mentality. I'm calling Fulham a Fulham win. Maybe, like, 1-0.
All right.
I see it happening. Mitrovic with his Luca Toni celebration, my favorite. Everton-Chelsea, last game of the week.
Chelsea and Everton have always been two outcomes. High-scoring game, low-scoring game.
Yeah. Like, high-scoring by, like, five or six.
Yeah. I think with the way Everton have been playing right now, they've been a bit shaky.
Yeah.
Things haven't been going in their favor, but also the same with Chelsea. You never know with those two teams. I don't want to call anything right now because I'm too damn scared to. But I'm hoping for a Chelsea win.
I could see Chelsea edging it 1-0. I think it'll be a low-scoring game.
Yeah.
I feel like Everton's going to give you a really good fight.
But they're going to get, you know what's going to happen? This is a game where we need Kante next to Jorginho.
Yeah.
You
can't have that three-man, like, separating midfield.
Exactly.
We need just two just holding it down.
Yeah.
So, I could see I think that this goal happened before where I could see a Pedro curler from outside the box. He always scores it against Everton.
Oh, and Tottenham, too.
And Tottenham. So, he's just good against those types of teams. Yeah. So, I could see a 1-0 win to Chelsea.
All right.
Dude, what an episode.
What an episode. It was jam-packed.
Jam-packed. We had some great talking points.
Yep.
We covered the Champions League. We covered the Premier League. We covered our thoughts on a lot of different things, which is really the goal of this podcast, for you guys to enjoy it and, you know, listen to it and have fun with it just as much as we are. We hope you guys continue to listen and spread the word. We are working on transitioning to YouTube real soon. Anton, any last comments?
No. We want you guys to listen to a word from our sponsor, Anchor. Yep. From everyone here at Fowl's Halftime, we want to thank you for tuning in and always supporting us. Please give us your comments, your feedback on our Instagram page, at Fowl's Halftime 10 on Instagram. No, we're not getting Facebook. No, we're not getting Twitter. It's once again, Fowl's Halftime 10 on Instagram. We'll be posting up content behind the scenes, and memes, and news. It's still a work in progress, folks, but we appreciate the support very, very much. From me and Antonio, we love you, and we thank you. Anything else, Antonio?
But Anton, I love to make a tweeting.
It's okay, you'll be okay, you'll live.
Okay. Till next time, guys.
Peace! Stay blessed, y'all.